This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
They were the heroes from the future. Teenagers protecting the universe from those that would sow the seeds of chaos. Each had unique powers and abilities, and though they often had their differences, they came together to save the day as the Legion of Superheroes. Now, you can be a part of their adventures and learn the history of the future in the Legion Clubhouse.
Superboy's leaving the Legion. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. This series has no meaning anymore.
Why would you do that?
Just telling them the truth.
Action Comics number 387, One Hero Too Many. Published April 1970. Written by E. Nelson Bridwell with art by Wynn Mortimer and Jack Abel. Synopsis: The United Planets decrees one Legionnaire must leave forever.
Here's one of the things that I like the most about Action Comics 387, Matthew.
What's that?
The opening page gives us the complete roster of the Legion of Superheroes. In previous issues, they'll say, hey, this issue features like Starboy and Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel. But this one, there's a splash page that is just, here's every single member. And when you finally see that big screen with all of their pictures on it, you suddenly realize, holy crap, this is a big organization.
There's way too many Legionnaires.
Well, and that's kind of the problem, right? It's tribute day at the Legion, even though, now here's the thing, even though the United Planets are paying for this, even though RJ Brand is paying for a lot of this, even though the Legionnaires are getting paid to protect the universe, planets are still expected to pay tribute to the Legion. They're supposed to, on tribute day, show up with their greatest gifts in order to ensure the continued protection. And if you don't show up with the right gift, they're not going to protect your planet. It's going to be like, oh, sure would be bad if something happened to your planet there over there, Mr. Spaceman's. Of course, if you give us a nice gift, maybe we can bump you up on that list next time there's an emergency. What do you think?
That is literally not what happens in this issue. That's what
yes.
I think.
No, that's literally what happens. People show up to pay tribute to the Legion. They're bringing them gifts. There's an ambulance clause.
They need to accept a donation.
Yeah. Let's put it in quotes. Donation. Let's call it what it really is. It's a tribute.
It probably doesn't fall under the emoluments clause, is what I'm saying. But more importantly, what it does is, give us a chance to see all 25 members leaning at the screen and going, hey, I'm Matter Eater Lad. I'm Ultra Boy. I'm Bouncing Boy. And then you get to the last one. It's like Chemical King. Wah, wah.
Oh, don't wah, wah. Chemical King.
You feel bad for him. Look at his face. He's just like, I'm here too.
It's his driver's license photo.
Is that what it is?
He's been waiting in the DMV for so long that that's the photo that they took. And that's the photo that the Legion uses on his membership card. But here's the thing.
He did just buy a new Roadster.
That's right. Here's the thing. If you're going to be receiving gifts.
Right.
At some point, all of these gifts, and the gift that they receive in this issue is from... I forget what planet it is, but it is an instant teleporter hole. Essentially, you just turn this thing on. You think about the planet you want to go to, and then you just step through it, and there you are.
Yep.
If you're going to
wherever you go, there you are.
If you're going to receive a gift that large, you are going to attract the attention of the Weyland-Yutani government organization.
It's Weyland Bannon, the head of the Bureau of Revenue and Taxation.
Oh, he's a government man.
It's the Legion of Superheroes versus the Tax Man.
The Tax Man. Yeah. So this actually is something I find this very fascinating for a couple of reasons, because number one, if you are a corporation that accepts gifts,
right,
you have to report that. You're supposed to report that on your tax return. And at Major Spoilers, we do get sent things like Boom Studios, for example, will send us some review copies. That's could be considered technically a gift, and we're supposed to report that. And if we give it away, if we give it to somebody, we actually are supposed to have, especially if I think it's over $50, we're supposed to report that and file out a form and everything for the person that received the gift. And they have to fill out one of those 1099s or something stupid like that. And we have to report it for tax purposes.
Right.
That's the same thing that's going on here. If you're a company that receives gifts, you have to report it. And if you don't report it, they could come after you for tax evasion. And you get taxed on those gifts. If someone gifted Major Spoilers a brand new $10,000 camera, or even a $5,000 camera, or actually probably what we need is about a new $2,000 camera. But if someone out there really nice was to gift that to us, I would have to report it to the IRS. Or in the case of the Legion, the Bureau of Revenue and Taxation. Or else, in this case, they're going to tax you on it. And
they are.
And this presents a problem because I forget who it is. Is it Cosmic Boy or Karate Kid?
Karate Kid is the leader, yeah.
And he's like, no, we're a 501c. We're tax exempt.
We're a law enforcement group, he says. And they're like, no, any group with more than 24 members becomes fully taxable. All private clubs that have more than 25 members, which means by the law of averages or the law of, I don't know,
of just basic math.
Yeah. The Legion has to shed a member or pay millions of credits in back taxes that they literally don't have in the next 24 hours. And they are going to so much work to get rid of somebody.
This is like the weirdest. This is the weirdest gimmick to write a character out of this book.
But this is Nelson Bridwell. And the thing that's about true. Nelson that's great is Nelson can take these weird things and work them into the story. But he works them into the story in a way where you're just like, wow, that was a really clever, twisty deus ex machina that he made out of like leftover, you know, cards and some things that he had in the back of his van. Nelson is like MacGyver. So you look at Shooter. Shooter's like Magnum P.I. He's smooth and he's got the red car and he drives around, but he owes Robin Masters money. That's Shooter. Nelson is MacGyver. If you give him some gum and some paper clips, he'll make a story, but it won't necessarily be a gun or a trebuchet, whatever you want to make. And that's the thing that's really admirable about this is they clearly came in with some creator caveat to get rid of X member, a secret member that we're not going to explain to you.
Well, because the whole purpose of this issue to get rid of this one character is in itself ridiculous and wastes a lot of time.
Sure.
Here's the other thing that I find interesting about this issue. They are talking about taxes, and this issue came out in April of 1970, right up around tax time. So it's interesting that, you know, these kids reading these comic books are probably hearing mom and dad talk about taxes and are probably sitting back saying, oh, thank goodness I don't have to worry about taxes right now. I'm just a kid or I'm just a teenager. And then, ba-bam, you got more than 24 members in your club. You're going to have to pay us millions of dollars of taxes, teenagers.
Yep. And the best part about this is that rather than, you know, the standard, oh, we're all going to fight about it, the Legion immediately starts saying, nope, I'm going to be the one. I'm the last one in, says Timberwolf, so I'll quit. And Chemical King's like, nope, nope, it's me. And Bouncing Boy's like, I'm the least useful. And Duo Damsel's like, no, I'm the least useful, which is a really weird argument to have.
Yeah.
But everybody on the team is ready to quit in order to better the rest of the team, to support the Legion and make sure the Legion survives, rather than fighting over who has to quit. They're fighting over who gets to quit.
No, I am Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus times two.
The leader of the Legion of Superheroes loses his cool and smashes his podium. And if you are looking at the possibility of paying millions of credits in back taxes, is a little more property damage really a good idea, Val? I mean, seriously, anger management.
Hey, that's one less thing they have to pay taxes on. It's damaged. We can't pay taxes on this podium.
Of course, things get really creepy when Karate Kid is like, fine, everybody who wants to quit, throw your name in the bowl.
Yeah.
And I'll pick a name at random. And then the bowl catches fire.
Yeah. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to talk about some other things that were going on in the United States around the time that this issue hit. Now, this didn't happen until 1973. I went looking for big tax events, the federal tax legislation in the 70s. The first big one happened in 1973. And the main issue in question among the House Committee and, on Ways and Means was tax reform. And the main issue at question in this debate was whether the wealthy and the business class should be taxed more heavily under the new tax regime. A year later, the panel said, well, we're just going to abandon these efforts because we really couldn't come to a consensus.
How many of the people on the panel were themselves wealthy?
That would be very interesting to go and check. And it would be very interesting to see how many people were on the Ways and Means Committees in 73 and who are still serving today.
Well, I don't know if anybody is still serving 47 years later.
I don't know. How long has Mitch McConnell been in office?
Like 20 odd years.
How long has Uncle Joe been in politics? What about John McCain?
John McCain passed away. Dude.
Well, I know he did that, but how long was he? Would he have been? He was in office.
He was around in the 80s because he was one of the Keating Five.
Yeah. So I don't know. I find it very interesting that they're talking about the same kind of tax reform. Mm-hmm. And then 30, 40, almost 50 years later, we're doing the same thing again. I'll say this again, and this is one of the things that I like about this show, is that we get to look at history through the lens of today and see how history kind of repeats itself and goes in cycles. And we cover the same topics again and again and again, like a burning ballot.
The burning ballot.
Oh my gosh, I can't read this because the ballots got all burned up. No, that was an illusion. I created it. No, it's my sun powers. I created it. No, it's my chemical interactions with oxygen. I created it. Therefore, I must go. Oh, wait, one of these ballots didn't burn up. It says Dream Girl. Dream Girl's like, I didn't put my name in. I had a dream the other day that I was still on the team 6 months from now. Oh, who could it be? Everybody's stroking their beards and looking at one another. It's like that.
Literally none of them have beards.
It's like in that final scene of Election where Matthew Broderick pokes his head into the office and everybody starts looking at him. And it's like the eyes start close up, close up, close up, close up, close up as everyone's inspecting everyone else, trying to figure out what's going on. I have a feeling that if this were a live action television series, that's exactly what would be happening here. The little Alfred Hitchcock Election kind of nod of everybody looking at each other with speculation until finally one of them cracks and Superboy says, I can't stand it anymore. The pressure. I will leave the Legion. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. The thing that's really fascinating to me, other than a couple of things that we need to touch on in a minute because they're important for stupid reasons, is the breakdown at one point where Brainiac 5 is like, okay, well, who did the most super feats? And they're like, Brainiac 5, he did the least. He's only done 9. And I'm like, okay, wait, what's a super feat? Because Timberwolf is in like the 200s and Karate Kid's in the 300s and Mon-El is nearing 400 and Brainiac has done 9, but Brainiac has probably also, you know, built the entire headquarters and held everything together with glue.
I think they're kind of referring to the super feats as missions accomplished. How many missions have you been on? And in the case of Brainiac, he's not been on hardly any missions because he's always back at the HQ building some new piece of technology or figuring out a plan of action or sending people on their way. So literally, he doesn't go on missions. But as they point out, he's super vital to the organization because he's the brains behind the brawn, man.
Yep. They need his planning. They need his inventiveness. And so this is the fascinating point. At that point, Supergirl is like, you know, Brainy can't quit. I'm going to quit for him. And his response is, you can't go. I love you.
Well, and then the super pets show up and say, we're going to leave if Supergirl leaves. And everybody's like, yeah, we could care less about you, super pets. But apparently Supergirl is so upset. She's like, OK, fine. I'll stay here and mac out with my favorite green alien of all time. And the super pets can stay. And everyone's like, oh, we don't want the super pets to stay.
About that whole sequence?
Is that we never see the super pets ever again?
That is correct. This is the final Silver Age and possibly the final canonical appearance of the Super Pets. But more than that, the next time we see Supergirl as a Legionnaire, she resigns.
That's where you put in the sad trombone sound.
Right. This is the last appearance of the Pets saying that, no, we can't quit. And the second to last appearance of Supergirl, who's saying, no, she can't quit either.
Oh, man.
Both of these concepts are phased out of the book.
Think about that. Brainiac just professed his love to Supergirl, and her reaction is to ghost him until she decides to quit the Legion.
Oh, my God. Poor Brainy. No wonder he loses his mind and eats a Miracle Machine. No, wait. That's complicated. We'll get to that in a few years.
No, seriously. She ghosts him. She doesn't show back up with the Legion. Yep. She's like, oh my gosh, this is awkward. I'm right here next to the horse that's in love with me. And I'm next to an alien who's in love with me. This is awkward. And she's pulling at her costume. Now, seriously, it's not the horse that's in love with her. He used to be a man who got turned into a centaur who got turned into a horse.
He was a centaur who got turned into a horse. Who can turn into a... No, wait. Was he a man who would turn into a sin?
I don't know. It's so confusing. But there's some weird love going on here.
And
she is caught in this awkward situation. And her response is to just like, okay, I'm not going to come back for a while because this is awkward. And when I do come back, I'm just going to quietly resign. Yeah. And I think the reason is... I think a real reason is... Mm-hmm. Not because she's awkward and wants to ghost Brainiac 5, but... She's so busy over in Adventure Comics.
Yeah, she took over the Legion slot in Adventure Comics.
Yeah, and so she's too busy over there to guest spot in Action Comics, which you would think you would want from a publishing standpoint. You would want to have, hey, we need to have Supergirl make some appearances over here in Action Comics so the sales may remain high and we get these kids jumping back and forth between the two series, because we could say, hey, kids, don't forget next month, Supergirl is going to appear in Action Comics 387. You don't want to miss it. And then all the, you know, the Adventure Comics people are like, oh, yeah, I need me some Supergirl action. And they go and buy that. So I think they miss some opportunities in the real world for some, what do we call that, Matthew? Synergy. But at the same time, just the meta meaning of this whole thing is hysterical. Let's get back into the actual story.
Okay.
Everyone is totally okay with Superboy leaving, which is really weird that everyone's like, well, you did cheat and you did do all these things, even though we founded this organization based on your ideals. Yeah, we're just going to let you go quietly into the night without a big to do. Yeah, we'll make you a statue. Sure. We'll add you to the Legion of Superhero, you know, the Hall of Legion heirs, blah, blah, blah. But they really could give two craps about him leaving. In fact, we've wasted 7 pages on this of no, I'll go, no, you'll go. And then when Superboy says, no, I'll go, we've got like 6 panels left in this entire issue.
Yeah. And those panels are actually devoted to Duo Damsel getting in one last kiss.
Oh, she's making out with Superboy. Bouncing Boy's going to be.
That is some highly charged erotica for 1970, by the way.
Bouncing Boy is going to be so mad.
He'll get over it.
Oh, but here's the thing. I can tell listeners who are like, oh my gosh, Duo Damsel and Superboy are going to be a thing? No, they're not. There's no way that this is Superman or Superboy's true love, because Duo Damsel's name, real name, is not a double L.
Right. It's an LD.
An if LD.
Lorna Lurgo.
Yes.
She could be a true love. But.
Yes, because we know that Superman has had 3 true loves in his life.
Right.
Lana Lang.
Right.
Lori Lois Lane. Those 3 double L's. Mm-hmm. And they've talked about this, you know, meta wise and also in historical preferences, that Superman's true loves, their names all start with the double initial LL.
Right. And his high school boyfriend, Lex Luthor.
That's correct. So we know that even though they kiss,
he's a big fan of Liz Lemon.
Yes. Even though they kiss and Superboy goes quietly into the night back to 1962 or 1970.
1960, because Superboy is 10 years.
Oh, yeah, that's 10
past.
Years behind the past. That's right. There's nothing that's ever going to come from this romance.
Yeah. And, you know, this is fascinating because this is the first time, not counting Adventure Comics 350, where they did it as a MacGuffin. This is the first Superboy leaves the Legion plot point But it's not going to be the last. I can tell you that now. So if you're worried that Superboy is never coming back, obviously, you're new here. Hi, welcome to Major Spoilers. This is the Legion podcast. But yeah, Superboy is gone forever.
Question mark?
For about the first asterisk? Time of 100.
So here's the other thing, too, that, you know, is kind of foretelling. We know that there are going to be other members of the Legion of Superheroes that join the team. What are we at, 34 or something at the one point? Or 50 of them?
I believe that the biggest active membership that I can remember was 29.
Okay, so...
But there are like 40 members by the time this Legion ceases to exist in 1994. Right.
So we know at some point the Legionnaires start becoming politicians. They're going in and greasing the palms of the United Planets so that they can increase the amount of members they have without having to pay taxes on that.
Maybe, you know, I'm not saying that one of these Legionnaires ends up being a senator from Planet Bismol, but I'm also not saying that.
If you enjoy the show, we would appreciate your support. You can find out more and become a Legion Clubhouse member at patreon.com/majorspoilers.
Here's something that happens rarely, or not as rarely as you might guess. We're skipping an issue of the Legion members. Action Comics 388, we do not have anything to talk about in that. And why is that, Matthew?
Well, the simple reason is that Action 388 actually features a reprint from Adventure 302, which came out in November of 62, 10 years ago. We've actually covered that story already back in Legion Clubhouse, episode number 7.
Well, there you go. Also, there are a couple of very interesting letter pages bits that happen in this issue. The first one is somebody's writing in and saying, you know, is Superboy really needed in the Legion? Maybe he should just leave. And they respond with, oh, man. Are you reading our minds? Because that's literally happening in this issue.
It is. And that's actually kind of genius, because trying to separate the Legion from Superboy becomes an obsession at DC for the next 25 years.
Yeah, until the Crisis on Infinite Earths. And then they're like, we still don't know how to resolve this because now we're in Superboy lawsuit mode. And we can't use Superboy, and if we're going to reboot during the burn era, who's bringing his history up to modern times, we can't even use Superboy there because it doesn't exist.
Superboy doesn't exist, yeah.
And so the whole Legion thing gets in a total turmoil here. But yeah, I found that very fascinating.
There's also an important letter column suggestions and or complaint about Chemical King.
Ah, okay.
Chemical King's name, according to the reader, who is correct, doesn't fit his powers. And I've realized that when I was reading this letter, that's the problem with Chemical King. He's been around now for almost 3 years, but we never see him. He doesn't really do anything.
Well, because he has the same powers as Element Lad, essentially.
Yes. Well, his powers are different, but the powers that he has are the ability to catalyze different chemical reactions. Mm-hmm. And the reader's like, you should be calling him Catalyst King. And I feel like if his name would have been Catalyst King, he would have been around more, because Chemical King does sound like his power should be exactly the same as Element Lad, and that his power should do something different. And so I believe that that name is part of the reason that Chemical King, and this is, you know, 40-year-old spoilers, doesn't stick around for very long.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. But, you know, Chemical King is going to play a big important role in our next issue.
Action Comics number 389, The Mystery Legionnaire. Published June 1970. Written by Kerry Bates with art by Wynn Mortimer and Jack Abel. Synopsis: an indestructible android seeks revenge on the Legionnaire who captured him.
The Mystery Legionnaire.
Meanwhile, soaring through space without a head.
Bridwell must have taken a break because I'm surprised Kerry Bates is writing this. And then next issue, we get right back to Bridwell again.
This, I believe, is Kerry Bates' first work on Legion of Superheroes. And Kerry is, I don't know if he becomes officially the official writer. But I know that Kerry is one of the writers going into ending up this Action Comics backup era. and going into the next big phase of the Legion, there's a big, big story coming up that I don't want to spoiler, but it may involve a wedding that Carrie is actually the primary writer for. So I believe this is where Carrie steps into Legion lore.
Is this where Superboy and Duo Damsel finally get married and Bouncing Boy is there in the back corner of the panel crying and say, "I'll get you, Superboy." And then all of his hair falls out. Okay. Well, we'll find out. So this one, issue 389, features a plot point that Iron Giant, the movie, totally ripped off in its entirety.
Please explain to me how the Mystery Legionnaire and the Iron Giant are the same story.
So in this story, there is an android who's basically a Mazo. And so I don't know, what was a Mazo's first appearance? Do you know?
It would have been an early issue of Justice League of America, somewhere in the teens or the 20s, I want to say.
Okay, so at some point, these criminals that are all incapacitated in some way, blind, immobile, I don't know what else they could have, but they're in a prison for the criminally incapacitated.
They're blind, they're immobile, they're gassy, they have a high A1C.
And so five of these guys start like ripping off parts from the prison and they build a super robot that can do anything and they have it going around committing crimes. Well, at some point there is a Legion member, who is able to split this robot into multiple parts, rip off its head, its arms, its legs, send them all to the four corners of the universe. And as this story picks up, and as we open in media res, these parts are trying to reassemble themselves, just like in the Iron Giant. When the Iron Giant gets exploded, his parts start seeking itself out again to put it back together.
We start with a body flying through space, then a record scratch, and yep, that's me.
I bet you're wondering how I got to this.
But yes, the robot, whose name, by the way, is Klim.
Okay. Yes, K-L-I-M. And if you know anything about comic book lettering, oftentimes comic book lettering is in all caps. You typically do not do lowercase, typically. A lot of times it's in all uppercase. Right. And unfortunately, if you don't have good kerning, which is the spacing in between your letters, the L and the I should never, ever, ever be next to one another in a hand-lettered page.
Because they look like a U, which is why Hawkeye, the Avenger, real name Clint Barton, was so problematic in the Silver Age of comics.
Yep. As well as there was another magazine that, So, yes, don't do this, people. I don't know why you do this. Apparently they hadn't figured it out yet. Also, that's not how you spell the word in question, but I'm sure there were a bunch of teenagers giggling in the back room.
The first half of Quat, I'm sure.
But yes. So the whole thing is this robot has a mad hate for the Legion member who, decapitated it. Yeah. The Legion member who decapitated it and sent its body parts all over the universe. And it's going to take that Legionnaire down. Fortunately, we've got three members of the Legion of Superheroes. Yep. We've got, Shrinking Violet, Chemical King, and Cosmic Boy.
Known to each other as Kaz, Kem, and Vi, which makes me want to strangle them all.
Yes. But they're like, I know he's after a Legion member, but we know what really happened. Maybe we should go out and take care of this ourselves. And there's an entire moment where literally, and I can't remember if it's a editor's box or if it's something else where it's like, have you figured out?
We defy you to guess which Legionnaire. And, you know, the thing that kind of frustrates me about this is when Klim refers to the Legionnaire, he keeps saying, I will find him who did this to me and I will make he pay. And I'm like,
welcome to the patriarchy.
Right. One of these Legionnaires is Shrinking Violet. So it seems
like. It certainly
like,
can't be her.
Right. Klim is somehow being sexist, even though he's this invincible space robot from the future.
Well, he was built by mad geniuses. That should tell you something right there.
He was built by criminal jerks. And the unlikely combination of shrinking magnetism and catalyzing chemical reactions actually does some fascinating stuff. It's interesting to see Carrie playing with the Legion's powers in a way that we haven't seen recently.
There's literally a moment where you're reading this going, oh, this could really be Element Lad doing all this.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, they magnetized him. But wait, he's also frozen. The Polar Boy's not here. What's going on? The mystery part of it, with the exception of the robot clearly calling out a male Legionnaire.
Right. Oh, this one seems like I've got giant hoof prints in my chest. There's no Streaky the Super Horse anywhere around. Also, that's not his name, but it's a robot Clem. Yes, I know. It's Clem, though. He doesn't even know who popped his head off. And he could call the horse Streaky because he read it in a magazine one time.
That's true. Yeah, it was a magazine with a name that needed better.
Part of me was like, oh, this is so cute. Have you figured it out? It's just kind of got that classic 1950s, early 1960s feel. But then I'm like, this is 1970. People don't want to be talked down to like they're idiots. Have you figured it out? It ended up kind of being annoying. So I hope they don't do that a lot more in the future.
Carrie has that, I don't want to use the word precious, but Carrie definitely has an edge to his work where you're just like, is this too much? One of my favorite Carrie stories is actually one where, you remember Earth Prime?
Oh, of course I do.
Earth Prime is the Earth where the DC Comics offices, they refer to it as quote unquote our world.
Right.
The DC Comics offices and creators existed. Carrie wrote a famous Justice League story where he and his co-creator got sucked into a portal and ended up on Earth One. Mm-hmm. And Carrie, writing the story, became the villain of the Justice League story.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you're like, is that too much, though? And the end of this issue is fascinating because the Legionnaires, you know, find Clem and they confront him and he's like, no, it was not you three. I saw another Legionnaire.
And they're like, hey, no. Man, remember when we punched you so hard that your head spun around and your eyes continued to spin around even though your head stopped? You were kind of dizzy when you took a look at us in your binocular vision. And somehow you mixed Cosmic Boy and Chemical King together and thought we were one person, you dope.
Let's take a moment to talk about Cosmic Boy's pink costume and Chemical King's pea green costume with brown boots.
Yeah, it's just
mixed together, they make the fugliest costume I have ever seen. And this is a series where Colossal Boy has been dressed.
Yes, as a space cowboy. Yes.
As a space cowboy for 25 freaking issues.
Yeah, no, it's pretty ugly. And so is this story. The end.
I like this story, actually, and I think it may be that it's a change of pace from all the Lonely Hearts.
Yes.
We get a transition to something. We get some under-featured Legionnaires in the spotlight. I don't think we've seen anything with Cosmic Boy in months.
No, probably not.
And it does end with, you know, kind of another one of those, oh, we only have four panels left, here's the Deus Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know who else we haven't seen in a couple of issues?
Who's that?
Superboy. He's gone, Superboy dude. He quit the Legion. Around. Two issues now without Superboy in them. Starting to freak out, man. Starting to have Superboy withdrawal issues.
You're fine. You know what I find fascinating about this story?
Is that they actually published it?
Be nice. This is not that bad. The three Legionnaires are flying down and Cosmic Boy is like, oh no, he's trapped. And Violet is like, yes, his body was caught like a raisin in a muffin.
I read that too, and I was just like, that's really weird. The other weird thing is I've been thinking about making some raisin bread recently, but that line just kind of cracked me up. I was just like, that really feels out of place for something that these teenagers would say. They should probably be talking about, hey, yeah, that's pretty groovy, V. He's caught just like a, you know, something joy juice that we drink. Yeah, man, like, groovy.
Like
a space CB.
Raisin in a cosmic muffin, you know. A future raisin in a space muffin is what it is. But just like a raisin in a muffin is the weirdest either metaphor or simile, whichever it is, and I don't care. Don't at me.
He's caught just like the readers of this comic who can't keep buying it month after month.
He's caught like a jackass in a hailstorm, ..
What does that even mean?
Well, it means the same thing as a raisin in a muffin. Somebody had to fill a panel.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting to see these characters together. And, you know, the one thing that I find really fascinating is for a second issue in a row, there's an interesting hypothesis in the letters page.
Okay.
Did you read this?
No, probably not, because I was too freaked out over how Superman, who's now no longer old man Superman, still looks like my 65-year-old grandfather when he was 65. And it just makes me say, oh, my God, Superman just is drawn old. But of course, he's only 35. But back in 1970, a 35-year-old looked like a 65-year-old. So it kind of all comes out in the wash.
People were older back then. That's also Kerry Bates doing the lead story. And Kerry Bates was responsible for that million-year-old Superman story. So that may color your thing that's coming. But no, this is an interesting, it's a letter from Colin Robertson of Bergenfield, New Jersey. And it says, Dear Editor,
yes,
if Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl married and had children,
yes,
I think they would combine their parents' powers. Mm-hmm. They would be like Validus of the Fatal Five, able to project mental lightning.
Now, we've talked about this before, and this is really fascinating, because when we did the last Fatal Five story, or one of the very first Fatal Five stories, and we talk about Validus, we talk about a future story that comes up in like 1987 or 1999 or whatever year it is, where we actually find out that Validus actually is the child of, Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl. And who is it? The Time Trapper? No, it's Darkseid. Darkseid, to screw with those Legion members, sends their child back in time to become one of their worst villains, which is kind of foretelling, because, as we all know, our children grow up to become our own worst villains.
That's true. We are our own worst enemies, and so are our children. But I think it's really interesting to me to look at this story and think, okay, so kids reading this book, let's say they're 9 or 10.
Yes.
This is 1970, 17 years later in 1987, those kids are going to be 26. They might be working for DC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
They might have actually remembered that, or had this pop up again and again in fandom. This is the earliest reference that I can find to the Validus connection.
Mm. Someday we'll find it, the Validus connection, and it was right here in this episode. Also, Clem backwards is milk. That wraps it up for this installment of the Legion Clubhouse. Matthew, what have we learned this week?
We've learned that if you're going to put raisins in a muffin, you need a nice glass of Klim.
I think we also learned that reading the letters columns in these comic books is fascinating and full of sometimes ho-hum, but also full of, oh, wow, they are predicting stuff way far into the future.
And most importantly, red-green color blindness or no red-green color blindness, pink and green is ugly as sin.
That wraps it up for this installment of the Legion Clubhouse. Thank you, everyone, for downloading, being a part of our growing community of Legion fans. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad so many of you are finding this episode, especially after the announcement of the upcoming Brian Michael Bendis, Ryan Sook Legion series that's coming out.
Yeah.
We can't wait to talk about that in the future. And we can with your support when you become a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. You can find out more over there. You can come back next time on the Legion Clubhouse when we have more fascinating things to talk about. But until then, I'm Hey Far Out Groovy Man.
And I'm Bendis Boy.
The Legion Clubhouse is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC, and is produced by Steven Schleicher. Your hosts were Matthew Peterson and Steven Schleicher. You can follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra and Steven at Major Spoilers. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Legion Clubhouse. If you have questions or comments, send them to podcast@majorspoilers.com. I'm Jason Inman. Until next time, eat it, Grandpa.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.